All right, guys. We have an interesting topic to talk about, and it's a viral video from Shoe on Head on YouTube, and it's discussing the idea of an epidemic of male loneliness. Now, I'm not a man. I'm not too accustomed to this subject matter, but we do have two men with us today, and we're going to discuss this video at length, so let's get into it. All right, guys, welcome to the stream. Today, we are gonna be reacting to a video titled The Epidemic of Male Loneliness, or the Male Loneliness Epidemic, that was posted by Shoe on Head on YouTube. It's got 1.2 million views already, so I figured we're gonna react to this. This is an issue, as I said, that I'm not too familiar with, but can recognize that there does seem to be a problem in today's day and age. I do have to introduce Taylor in Nashville.
Hey, can't wait to tell everybody how lonely we are. That's going to be exciting for Friday.
Yes, it is. And Cam in the producer's bay.
Hey, guys.
All right. So let's get into this subject matter. Let's start watching the video and see how we feel.
I regret to inform you, the men are not okay. That's right, folks. The men are not okay. The men have no friends, no girlfriend, no college education, no money, are breaking their legs and inserting metal rods into their bones to be a few inches taller, and listening to AI Batman help them overcome their pornography addictions.
You deserve real love.
Turns out the society that was built by and allegedly for men has indeed let them down. Now you might be thinking, oh look, another boo-hoo poor men video by Shoe on Head. Yes. And if you have a problem with that, tune into literally anything else.
Okay. The man question.
Men are in a crisis, and it seems nobody really cares. And the people who do care just seem like the people who want to sell them shit.
By the way, okay, eye makeup. Her eye makeup looks great.
Not me. I'm different. So before we get into this, let's quickly get into today's sponsor.
We gotta skip the sponsor. I'm sorry, guys.
And thank you, the viewer, as always, for not seeing new studies have had.
Why are men and boys struggling? And what should we do about it?
A few new studies have come out that have shown that young men are more lonely and single than ever before. But it's not just men. The women and children, too. It's predicted 45% of women will be single and childless by 2030. But according to the media, this is a good thing. The shekonomy is booming, as they say. Yeah. And meanwhile, men being single is treated like this.
New study explains why some single men are having a hard time finding a new partner.
Some of the music that they listen to speaks very derogatory.
Right.
Yeah, men, stop listening to that derogatory music. Then maybe you won't be single. I don't know, I think men and women being single and lonely kind of shows there might be something wrong with society. Perhaps we should address this, not just wave it off as empowering or pathetic.
Yeah, what she just said resonates with me totally. We've covered before on this show that, like, I think 60% of young men, and I forget exactly what the age range was on that number, but in their like late teens, early 20s, I believe, are single and, you know, don't have a relationship with another woman that they consider to be significant. Other ones talking about how, you know, men don't have groups of friends, whereas in decades prior, men could attest to having multiple really strong friendships with other men, and that seems to be on the decline. And so many people, I think, hear those stats and go, well, you know, it's about damn time men started dealing with some issues, and they've controlled the world for so long, and they created this whole patriarchal system that we live in, and now they're looking at the repercussions of their own actions, and, you know, they're reaping what they've sown in this society. And I just don't understand why that would be your reaction. I get that people harbor a lot of resentment based on what their worldview is towards men, but you should be able to step outside of that for a second and recognize that within these big numbers of like 60% of men not having a significant other in that age range, or a significant amount of men not having friends, these are everyday lonely people who are probably dealing with sadness and depression and a slew of other struggles in their daily lives. And if that doesn't create like a sense of empathy for you, just think about how that affects society at large, because eventually lonely people, especially at the rate at which people are lonely, become an issue for society. You know, unhappy people make other people unhappy, and unhappy people do things that are not the greatest for our environment and our communities. So to look at this issue and think they can just deal with it and we don't need to do anything about it, it doesn't make sense to me.
According to several different articles, I love how that's my source, I read about it on the internet, research shows that people from individualist countries show a greater sense of loneliness. This is linked to socioeconomic development, increased education, a shift towards white-collar jobs, and urbanization. Japan also has an issue with loneliness. In fact, they have a whole movement of people they call the Hikikomori. Did I say that right? I don't care. Basically, postmodern hermits. Mostly young men who completely withdraw from society, secluding themselves in their rooms for months and years at a time. In 2010, there was an estimated 700,000 hikikomori in Japan. And today, it's estimated to be about 1.55 million. And because—
Whoa. That's actually nuts. I guess that's like, that's technically like a level up on what we would consider an incel, because not only are you not engaging with women, for those of you who don't know, incel means involuntarily celibate. So not only do you not have that element of life engaged as a man, but you're also just not seeking social interaction, period. Or if you are, I imagine it's all on the internet and, you know, in chat rooms and forums and, you know, video games and stuff like that. So I don't know, man. Like, people who deal with these issues at some point are going to have to face the world that lies outside. I mean, unless we become super cushioned and, you know, that becomes not a reality anymore, where you can simply just lead this life and never have to face the outside world. I just can't imagine, like, that it lasts, that you can stay in that sort of pit that you're in for that long. And when you come out, what are you coming out to? Is it going to be a welcoming world? Is it going to be something that you want to engage with? Like, I'm obviously not a guy, but if I was a guy in this situation, I'd probably harbor a lot of animosity towards the world for the situation that I'm in. And there's, of course, the element of you as a man probably need to take responsibility for yourself and your own actions. And if you've placed yourself in a rut, then that's something that you need to confront to make yourself a better person. But we can't not acknowledge the fact that what society has to offer men is going to lead them down a certain path. And maybe that is the path of the, what is it, hikikomoris? That's crazy. I've never heard of that before.
Because of things like this, people aren't having babies, so Japan's population has been in a sharp decline since 2011. It's gotten so bad that Japan even produces videos of live-action women staring into the camera to help the hikikomori learn to cope with eye contact and reintegrate them back into society. So basically, if you want to know America's future, look no further than Japan. A lot of people, including myself, blame this partially on the rise of social media and technology. RIP to the king. Although technology makes things easier, it can also make us more atomized. Why go to the mall when I can just tap, 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 buy a new microphone and have it shipped to me in a day? Why hang out with friends when I can get all my social interaction I need from Twitter and streamers? Why go on dates and bother meeting women when I can just tap, 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 Google Big Boob and get 2 million results? Or see my high school crush's holes on OnlyFans for only $5. Instant dopamine.
Dude, facts. Literally, this is nothing but facts. It's blackpilling me right now just to think about all the different barriers that stand in the way of solution to this problem. And I think she was about to say dopamine hits. So not only is it like a barrier for entrance into the real world, which is a lot less fun than like what you can find on the internet, and a lot less easy when compared to what you can find on the internet, but you get that added like dopamine hit. So your body is physically incentivized for you to stay in the position that you are in, even though over time this is not going to be healthy for you whatsoever. And when we think about the Japanese government, like, I don't know, paying people or making videos of girls staring into the camera to train these men how to interact, it's not too far from what's happening in the US. Like, you guys all watch that crazy NPC trend that is still continuing to happen on TikTok. And I can't help but think that a large reason why that trend even started is because lonely men were watching these women on TikTok and gaining, you know, sexual gratification from some of the NPC stuff that they were doing. And then it became like a silly, haha, look at what's going viral on TikTok. Now other people are going to engage with it. But underneath the surface, it sounds very similar to like your government funding girls looking into the camera and interacting with you. And having that happen for men who are lonely, they're finding spaces on the internet to engage with women, even if it's not real. Like the AI girlfriends and stuff that we were talking about before, and the AI influencers that people are now following and, you know, liking pictures from and engaging with their videos and pretending to have conversations with, it's a little scary.
I mean, instant satisfaction. And hey, who even needs a real woman when you could just have an AI girlfriend? We're f***ed. We're so f***ed. Dating apps really are the great Satan, and I'm convinced they've completely broken men's brains. Women on dating apps are picky. Women in general are picky, and I mean, naturally we are pickier. You know, we're the ones who carry the babies. At least for now. But on dating apps, you have to admit, it's a little insane. It's safe to say that the commodification of love and the window shopping of dating apps probably has to do a lot with the rise of lonely single men. Men are not just lonely when it comes to dating, they're lonely when it comes to friendship too. According to Vox, Americans are currently in a friendship recession.
Okay, before we get into friendship, let's talk about the dating app conundrum that was brought up there. It's really interesting when you break down those bell curves that she briefly showed on the video of what men go after on dating apps and in dating in general, and what women go after now that we are in this age of technology and social media. And if you think about it, before we had social media, before we had dating apps, imagine you're a girl, right, and you're dreaming of your Prince Charming and the guy you want to date, and you're living in a town or whatever, or even in a big city like LA, and you're thinking like, oh, you know, 6 foot, six figure, six pack, that big saying right now that all these girls are saying, that's the ideal, right? That's the upper echelon of dating somebody. How many people, if you did not have social media and dating apps, would you meet that meet that standard? How many men in your town would be around meeting that standard that you would, you know, have access to? Probably not many, right? But if you're a girl and you download Tinder or Hinge or Bumble or whatever, and you can open up the miles of radius to meet new men and swipe through profiles from guys in different states or different countries, then those like 6 foot, six pack, six figure guys become more accessible to you. So now those guys have hundreds of women, you know, DMing them and going after them. And we have just sort of commodified dating in where you can just go, oh, 5'8", don't want it. Oh, he makes 80K, don't want it, 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 just swipe. So, and of course men are doing this too, right? This is not to blame women for the state of society. I think it's a shared burden that we all have. But when you introduce these elements of being able to date in this way, being able to engage in this way, it's quite literally a dumpster fire that is left behind in the wake of it.
Yeah, and on the guy's side, you're seeing that these women are out there saying, yeah, the 666 rule or whatever, it makes you less confident to go about your everyday life. Like, to your point, if that whole online dating world didn't exist, then the average build, average income, average height male would be walking around the world with more confidence and more apt to, you know, reach out to women, more apt to date, more apt to get out and not spend all day behind a screen and taking advantage of all of these technological innovations that are available to men that can be substitutes for dating, for pursuing an actual relationship, for even social interaction. So I think it's kind of on the men's side, it prevents men from even taking a step out into the dating world just because there's this perception that, well, unless I hit these standards, it's not even worth it.
Yeah. And there's fear involved. Like I said, when I was seeing the hashtag I fear women trending on Twitter, so strange to see something like that trending. And from presumably men who are echoing this sentiment of, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to engage with women anymore. And again, partially their fault. Partially the fault of society at large and the state of women in many different ways. I don't think we can single it down to any one source. It's just this wicked cocktail of issues that have landed us in the place that we're in. Now let's talk about friendships.
And men are being hit the hardest. The percentage of men who reported having at least 6 close friendships fell in half since the 90s. 1 in 5 men say they have no close friendships. Looking at all these statistics, man, the explosion of figures like Andrew Tate is not surprising at all.
I believe being a man is a blessing because it starts so different. I believe that every man is born without any value at all. I think that the world's never going to think you're important unless you make yourself important.
And recently, a new study came out about how young men are moving towards the right. And every other month, we, the liberal, sock-dem, leftist, whatever you want to call the space online, performs the same song and dance. What's wrong with men? Why is this happening? Why don't we have a leftist Andrew Tate? We need to push men to the left. Andrew Tate rarely, if ever, talks about politics. Andrew Tate talks about men, and the left only talks about men when they talk about Andrew Tate. A few months ago, during one of the monthly song and dances, some progressive people I follow made the mistake of addressing men's issues.
Before we get there, it's so true. When do you ever hear left-leaning individuals trying to appeal to a male audience? It's probably a sin within left-leaning groups to try to appeal to a male audience, because through the worldview, men are responsible for all the problems that created leftist ideology in the first place. They are the ones who brought about your activism. So why would you put in any effort to appeal to men? And then you get the few people who recognize it and dare to do it and say, you know what, guys? I understand what you're talking about with all the social justice stuff, but maybe men and young boys living right now are not necessarily the ones to blame, and we should be trying to engage with them and build the sense of community. And maybe not engaging with them is pushing them further to radicalization or, you know, the other issues that we don't like, and they're going to come back in full force against us. You'd think that would be a welcome conversation, but you say that and they push you out of the left. Right? You have to agree, toe the line of what it is that they believe. And the second you raise your hand and go, maybe we could do it this way, you're kicked out of the room, which was largely my experience on many other issues that had really nothing to do with men at the time. But if you do not agree with everything it is that they say, and often to the most radical extent, you are no longer invited. You're no longer a part of the club. So it's no wonder that left-leaning individuals have not tried to appeal to men. Even if they recognize it's an issue, they're for the most part recognizing it silently and within themselves.
Yeah, and it's telling that Shu is the one having to make a video about this. It's women on the left who are having to stand up and call attention to it, because presumably if the men do, then they're accused of mansplaining, they're recentering themselves, and now we're back into the patriarchy and you're acting aggressively and you know, taking up the space that others should have. And that's basically, we've created this narrative where men are disincentivized to assert themselves or even try to speak to the male experience, and with casting any sort of vision or giving any sort of positive direction of what it means to be a man. You should have meaning in your life, you should have a vision. And it's become so objectively bad in society, the results of thinking like that, that now women are having to be like, wait, maybe we actually need them after all.
Yeah. And I mean, we just asked you guys in the chat down below how you're doing with dating and everything right now. 52% of you said that you're trying to date and it is very hard. How sad is that? Oh my gosh. When I was looking at this video, right, I'm like, 1.2 million views is like obviously a huge thing to, and it must mean that this is resonating with people. I scrolled down to the first like major comment. It said, as a guy, all I want is for someone to care about me besides my mom and dad. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so rough.
I read that and it just like, it hurt my heart. But you're not allowed to say that, right? You're not allowed to like feel empathy for people who are dealing with loneliness. And she went on Twitter. She has a killer Twitter, by the way, but she posted some of the responses that she was getting to this video. And it is some of the saddest, darkest shit I've ever read in my whole life from men who saw this video and just thought, oh wow, I'm so glad somebody is speaking to this. I feel the deepest sense of loneliness that I've ever felt. Let me write that in the YouTube comment section, because that's how we engage with each other now. And yeah, so sad.
And the even bigger mistake of pointing their finger at their own spaces for not doing enough to address said men's issues.
Recently, there were some statistics by healthcare company Cigna indicating that men are the loneliest generation. And addressing it doesn't mean that you turn your back on issues pertaining to women, but it does mean that we should be focused on what it is in society that is leading to this epidemic, what the left can do to offer solutions, and how we can basically fight back against the more nefarious figures who have filled the void that, you know, men are struggling with, people like Jordan Peterson and what have you. Now, recently,
it's so funny. She calls him nefarious.
Vosh, streamer, had tweeted this thread that I think is really, really important to address. He writes, "I cannot stress enough how important it is to understand that 12-year-old white boys on Twitch are not being pulled into fascism because of some Machiavellian desire to preserve and expand their privileges. It's because the right talks to them and the left doesn't."
The responses to these tweets and this content were very normal, level-headed, and respectful. Me when I lie. LMAO, cry about it. Boo f***ing who. Oh no, poor widow men having problems. Boo f***ing who.
What did I tell y'all?
Grow up then. Have men considered being smarter? I'm enjoying all these sad little moids and their sad little tweets about their sad pathetic lives.
Dude, this is like just straight up misandry. It's like straight up, it's a matriarchy now. Let's just dog on men for the rest of their lives because we've subscribed to this idea that somebody force fed us when we were 13 years old or something like that. Oh gosh, it's crazy. And Anna Kasparian's been on a tear, man. Something's happening within her realm and within her thought process, because initially she came out and said, "You know what, guys, I'm rethinking a lot of the things that I thought around gender, and I think puberty blockers aren't completely reversible, and that's a conversation that needs to be had." And guess what? The left came after her hard. She said she didn't like the phrases like cis women and all the different new terminologies that were coming out for women, and that whole erasure, they came after her hard. Now she's saying maybe we need to talk about male loneliness, and not even from the perspective of the right is right about this. She's just saying the left needs to acknowledge that this is an issue and start to do our own form of community organizing around this. And the left dogs on her for it. It's just, how can you not wake up after like many instances of the people who supposedly are on your side and supposedly subscribe to your ideology just completely betraying you like this? And maybe they're starting to recognize the chasm that exists between liberalism and woke leftism, because it's large.
Sounds like a personal problem. Is the lack of compassion for men in the room with us right now? Maybe men are just not good people then. I'm so fucking tired of people trying to make male loneliness a huge societal problem.
Dude, it's gonna become a problem for you eventually. Like, if you do not acknowledge these things and do something about it, little boys who are lonely and don't have love and are not told that they have something to offer the world and not put in a position to be useful or to make friends or to build relationships, those little lonely, sad boys become big, lonely, sad men. And eventually sadness and despair and sitting in a pit for the majority of your life turns into things like anger and violence. And you start to become some sort of a retaliative force against the world that put you in the position that you're in. So again, there are empathetic reasons to care and sympathetic reasons to care about this issue, but there are also selfish reasons to care about this issue. If you're a woman right now who wants to grow up in a future that is prosperous and flourishing, and maybe even one day have your own family, that family is gonna need to be protected. And it's gonna be a hard time if you have a bunch of sad, disenfranchised men who nobody would ever listen to running around in your utopian world. Just, at least for selfish reasons, you should recognize something needs to be done here.
Yeah, no, their fifis are not my responsibility, and I shouldn't have to be punished because they can't get their shit together as human beings. Grow the f*** up. Why are we trying to win these entitled little predators over? The left isn't for them. That's why they go right in the first place. We're all lonely and alienated. It's young men going to the alt-right in droves. The problem isn't our messaging, it's them.
That's hilarious. This person in the tweet says, the left isn't for them, and then goes on to say that the problem isn't our messaging. Your messaging just outwardly excludes an entire group of people that represent 50% of your population, and you think it's a failure in the messaging of the other side. Wake up! Wake up!
It's literally not our problem. Men flock to Andrew Tate not because they're lonely, but because they're bigots. Hope this helps. Nah, it's just misogynist being louder than before and not getting laid, lol. Cry harder, losers. 90% of all homicides recorded worldwide were committed by male perpetrators. We should just get rid of all males, to be honest. This includes trans women, as they still retain male violence. By the way, you know the Tumblr feminists who were like, all men are sexist and rapist, male tears, penises are evil, blah blah blah, back in the day? Well, this is them now. Yeah. Should've just let me cook back then. Listen up, chuckle f***. I'm white, socially awkward, autistic, in my 40s, ugly, overweight, crippled, got a weird balding pattern, and have bad skin. You know what I didn't do? Choose to become a fascist. Because I recognize most of the sort that look like me are the problem.
Oh,
I may be hideously ugly and pathetic, but at least I'm not a fascist. Thank you for your input, buddy. You're really helping the situation. The reason
we're just like so disconnected as human beings, and the internet makes me recognize that every minute of every single day when you hear the way that people talk about other human beings as if they're not going through their own like personal unique experience that leads them down a certain path and makes them make certain choices and that they don't have their own separate struggles. Everybody is so like me, 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 the world revolves around me, even though they won't admit it. Right? And then you talk to them and you can tell by the way they talk about other people and especially people that they dislike how disconnected they are from the human experience at large. And I'll go out on a strong limb here and say that you recognize this more with like super radical woke leftists than I think I've seen it anywhere else. And it's funny that those are the people who claim to be the most connected to the human experience and the most connected to the world at large, who just outwardly like disavow whole groups of people, push them to the margins of the world, and then claim that they are the ones who are marginalized. Wild.
The reason young men flock to alt-right MRA movements is because the left gives brain-dead advice to young men. We need to be more compassionate to them, for our own sake. I'm sorry, but how is respect women brain-dead advice? What advice? Don't rape? Don't be a rapist is bad advice? Help, I have no friends or community. I feel suicidal. Have you considered not raping? Act like a decent fucking human being. It's not hard is brain-dead advice?
Pause. This is so true, man. It's so crazy, the responses that you get from people when somebody's just actively like trying to let you know that they're struggling. And it truly does encompass like the way a lot of people think right now. It's like when I was driving in LA the other day and saw the billboard that I told you guys about that said, you know, don't be racist. And that was the billboard, meaning somebody paid hundreds of dollars for that to be placed up here in LA. I mean, that's like prime real estate for putting a message out. And the message was, stop being racist. Oh, thank you so much. You know, now that I saw the sign, that's what I'm gonna do. At first, I was going to be racist, and now I'm not. And that's exactly what these people do when you come to them with like actual problems. Like, hey, I have an actual criticism of your ideology. Or hey, maybe this is a problem we need to recognize. Or hey, aren't like droves of men committing suicide right now in our society? Could we maybe talk about that and talk about mental health and mental illness? Don't be racist. How about that? How about they just not be racist? A bigot wouldn't kill themselves, you know? Gosh.
Brain dead advice like get consent and don't be a Nazi and women are people. Walking up to men struggling with loneliness and depression like,
kids, don't be racist.
Incredible. Exactly. Here's my actual advice I would give to my teen boys as a leftist. 1. Always get enthusiastic consent. 2. Save the planet. 3. Don't say that. It's actually kind of racist. Like, what the f*** is this? How does this address men and their issues? It doesn't. Why does their advice always seem to be, Become a liberal. Hey men, here's how to fix all your problems. Agree with me politically. Men flock to the MRA movement because they're the largest beneficiaries of MRA shit. Imagine saying women flock to women's rights activism because they're the biggest beneficiaries of women's rights. Like, no f***ing shit. Let's be honest. Aside from procreation purposes, men have become obsolete. Most women can find other methods of achieving orgasm without a man there. And speaking as a man, most of us are horrid to be around, and I don't blame any woman for just saying, no thanks.
Oh my god, dude, this is what every Just Pearly Things tweet looks like to me. Just with the gender swapped. This is pathetic.
She's so not wrong. Oh man. Remember when she tweeted out like, 16-year-olds are hotter than 26-year-olds or something like that? Oh my gosh, it is the exact same energy, man. Just like, I'm an ally, I swear I'm an ally. Will you love me because I'm an ally? You know, love me, pick me, choose me, you know? Oh, gosh.
You know what fixes male loneliness? Jerking off. As a man, I'll say this. Sit down, shut up, and beat one out. You'll feel better, I promise. Yeah, guys, just beat one out. Just off, just watch porn. Batman will be very disappointed in all of you. It's so funny how men feel entitled to a girlfriend. No, you sexist freak. When one side is like, wanting a girlfriend is sexist entitlement, and the other side is like, here's how to get a girlfriend. I don't know, bro. What happened to males just kicking the bucket? Now they just come on here and try to make their loneliness and misery into some social justice issue.
Wow.
Oh, trust me, men are still kicking the bucket. And when they're not giving mind-blowing advice like just to be a liberal, they're outright dismissing men's issues completely. It's not our job to educate them. Since men created the problem, they need to take steps to fix it. We have other things to care about. Men can figure out their own problems that they created.
Oh, dude. The irony is, this is going to create, like, the biggest set of problems the left has ever had to deal with, because these men are going to swing in full force towards the right. In full force, right? And they're going to come after them. Like, hardcore. If you do this to people, guess what they do? They will find every avenue they can to come back and, you know, get rid of your worldview. Like, that's what's going to happen to you. And it's so crazy because the entire, like, mindset of, like, leftist individuals is to listen to those who have been disenfranchised, because the disenfranchised need to, like, rise up against the power that's been. And then they're turning around disenfranchising men and not expecting that they're probably going to do the same in the future. Boy, oh boy, like, if you think Andrew Tate is bad, think about the sort of man that is born from this environment, from hearing this all the time, and from this being the mainstream message for how we communicate to the opposite sex. You're in for a treat.
Oh, go ahead. Really are. And it just made me think, when you're talking about disenfranchising, like, it's the same thing that's happening when, like, white and Asian students are being disenfranchised by their places being taken when we institute affirmative action, mm-hmm. and women are being disenfranchised, biological women, when we allow trans women to take their places in sports and identify as trans and in jails and things like that. So it's almost like it has to get so bad. Like, you violate the principle of just, like, let's treat people fairly and equally, and then you take that so far in its extreme, you never see it, but eventually the cognitive dissonance gets so strong that you're like, okay, maybe we've gone too far here. And it seems like maybe that's what's happening as we see more people on the left being like, no, wait, let's get back to some of these, like, principles of liberalism, of, like, equality. People are equal in dignity and worth and value, and whether they're male or female, mm-hmm. no matter what race they are, let's get back to that principle and think in those terms and differentiate ourselves from this man-hating atmosphere that we can see the results that it's creating.
Yeah, it's just you've created the manosphere, essentially, in doing this. This is literally what you've done. You created Fresh and Fit. You created Andrew Tate. You created the War Room. You created all of this stuff. Because the void, as Anna Kasparian so astutely pointed out in her video, the void will be filled, right? If you leave this massive space with a lack of communication, somebody's going to do it. And it's going to be a forceful individual who does not care how you feel or what the outcome is.
Again, it's not women's jobs to change how men are socialized. It's a man issue, and y'all need to address that amongst yourselves. Men created their own problems. Men can solve their own problems. The left is busy. Why does the well-being of other people concern me? Leftist, by the way. It's all systemic issues and societal factors and blah 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 until it's a man, and then suddenly it's,
Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. This problem is just a consequence of the patriarchy. Now take a wild guess about which gender created the patriarchy. Solve your own problems and leave women alone. Mm. These people rightly mock the bootstraps rhetoric until the subject is a man, and then it's bootstraps all the way down. They would never talk about any other group this way. It's wild. And it's kind of like both sides are telling men to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, but one is like, I'll show you how, and the other is like, fuck off. And when
dude, it's like the same thing with race, right? Like, you can just like dog on white people and be just explicitly, blatantly racist towards them, and you can't do that in any other direction. So how's it going for you guys?
They're not telling men to straight up fuck off. They're giving the 200 IQ answer that nobody has ever heard before. Just show your emotions, bro. And I'm not dismissing this problem, okay? I've made videos talking about this. Oh, you're crying at your grandfather's funeral? Okay, faggot. And studies have shown that men are scared to be vulnerable, even around the homies. And can you blame them when the media says stupid like this? Fellas, is it woke to open up to your fellow men and discuss history?
What does it say? UK builders go woke. Study finds 3/4 of tradesmen discuss their feelings with colleagues, while 2/3 shun the fried breakfast, and nearly half say they are history buffs. A poll of 2,000 builders found that 2/3 regularly talk about their feelings. Nearly half said that they were history buffs, and 60% favored science. What? What is this? Anyways.
The longest headline I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh, it was really hard to stick around. But I guess they're saying it's woke to talk to your coworkers about the way you feel and to like history, I guess, which is dumb.
Lies to believe strength, dominance, and stoicism are behaviors of a real man. Is it any surprise that men are lonely and have less friends nowadays? You have to be vulnerable to make friends. Don't tell me there aren't systemic problems affecting men. Now, while a lot of this may be true, men have been socialized this way for centuries, and this is all relatively a new phenomenon. Toxic masculinity has existed forever. If anything, there's less toxic masculinity nowadays. The cultural embrace of, like, gender nonconformity, femboys, Harry Styles in a dress, Barbie movie, blah 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 blah. My point is, toxic masculinity did not just appear in the mid-2010s.
Yeah, and I'll put that in quotes, toxic masculinity. We have to define that a little bit because when we're talking about like stoicism and dominance and things like that, I don't know that I necessarily attribute that to toxic masculinity, but I get exactly what is being said here. That has been around, as she said, for centuries. That's nearly always been what men have subscribed to ideologically. So the fact that bunch of men are super lonely, they're not going on dates, they don't have friends, and they're killing themselves is relatively new. So we should probably figure out what's going on there.
Social media did, and the internet did, and the rise of dating apps did, and the housing crisis, and living in a country where the wealth inequality is worse than it was during the Gilded Age. That all happened recently. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's so funny because it's like, Shu is liberal, right? So it's just kind of hard to decipher between like liberal people talking about these issues and conservative people talking about these issues at this point, because there seems to be a almost collective acknowledgement that wokeness is probably not the solution for anything that's happening right now. So liberals and conservatives are starting to sound really, really similar in their rhetoric.
God, the privileged life these poor little boys must have, that their biggest problem is being lonely, i.e. so insufferable that nobody wants to sleep with them. So much more pressing than the poor distribution of wealth causing people to suffer food and housing insecurity. Boo-hoo, you're lonely and have no friends and are suicidal, wah. Because feeling alienated under capitalism apparently isn't a thing. People are working harder and longer while wages have been stagnant, men have been dropping out of college like flies, and what does that get you?
Poor men.
Which, since women are doing amazing in college now, and many are now out-earning men, this most of the time leads to
single men,
which then leads to
lonely men,
which leads to
depressed men,
which leads to
the high suicide rate.
In my opinion, leftism at a policy level does a great job addressing the shitty material conditions that in part lead to the problems that men are facing, but then absolutely drops the ball when it comes to everything and anything related to men's cultural issues. Many such cases. And why would a struggling man even want to move left when the left appears actively hostile to them?
The question of whether or not the hashtag online left is enough to appeal to hashtag men has become the question du jour. And like, men have most of the money, authority, and do most of the murdering and assaulting.
The average young man in America.
Oh, gosh. So let's just never talk to them ever again, right? Let's just not ever speak to their issues, talk about them, even though we can recognize that would not be the majority of men, right? Right? And that there's a difference between good men and bad men. But no, let's just, you know, throw the whole camp out because of this random stat. Let's just do that.
Okay, isn't Jeff Bezos. Also, why did this motherfucker just FBI crime statistics at me? Men do the most murder. Okay?
They like having all of the stuff they don't deserve. They like that. They want it to stay that way.
Dude, I love how he's saying, like, they, as if he is not a whole-ass man sitting right in front of us.
You don't know how he identifies.
Yeah, well, I'm calling a spade on this one.
It suits them. Because of the stuff, telling people they're special and deserve all the nice shit that they have, that's going to be an easier sell 10 times out of 10 than, like, saying, hey, maybe you should have less stuff and other people should have more.
Leftism is when you don't have a lot of stuff. We're going to take your stuff. You sound like a 65-year-old Fox News boomer's idea of what the left is. Are you a CIA agent? The right is saying to men, you will own a house. You will have beautiful children with your loving wife. You will have privacy. You will have free speech. You will own things, and you will be happy. And the left is like...
They like having all of the stuff they don't deserve.
But don't get me wrong. Republicans will not do shit. The Republican Party will not do shit. The establishment in general will not do shit.
Why I low key I agree. Nothing's getting done, dog. Nothing's getting done. It's crazy. I don't know. I feel like there's just gonna be like a movement of people who can agree with the general points that have been espoused in this video, and it's gonna become something like wholly new in this country if we keep functioning at these like two, you know, polar opposites that continue to like fight at each other like parents that are about to divorce. Like, we're all just sitting here watching this whole thing devolve into something that is not benefiting any of us and is not getting anything done. And again, like, you can't decipher really what side this person is on if you take out some of the more like nuanced points made in this video. You can't decipher anymore. It's really interesting.
To help any of this. But the right is at least rhetorically offering men something other than nothing or the eternal HR department. Every time this Discord comes up, there's people like, we need a leftist Andrew Tate. We need masculine role models on the left. But the fact—
Dude, what even does a leftist Andrew Tate look like? Let's be honest. I don't think those two words can, like, those three words can go together. Like, a leftist Andrew Tate? I don't know that exists. I'm trying to think of who that would be right now. Like, who's Vosh. Filling that space? I mean, I've heard Destiny give some pretty good advice to, like, what men should do in their lives and, like, how to build fruitful relationships, and that, like, it is possible to as a man, fulfill that need for usefulness and still, you know, build a career and a life. So maybe, but I don't know that I'd call him the leftist Andrew Tate, right? But at least there's somebody sort of vocalizing that and being what I believe to be in some cases rational when he talks about it.
It's hard for progressives to organically appeal to men because a large part of progressivism is oppressive hierarchy and men are oppressors. Making progressivism look appealing to young men is an uphill battle from the start. And although it's funny to laugh at insane people on Twitter, as always, there have been a lot of left-wing content creators talking about men's issues. If you would have told me this would be a thing 9 years ago, I would not believe you, because anyone talking about men's issues back in the day was called an MRA or a pick me. But lately I have seen a lot of good pro-men lefty content, and I'll put some links to some below. I don't agree with all the points they say, but I recommend watching. It's much better than...
They like having all of the stuff they don't deserve.
But the issue is a lot of this lefty pro-men content, it's always framed around, how do we get them? As if men are just pawns and tools for your personal politics. Mm-hmm. How do we make the left more appealing to men? How do we stop lonely men from moving to Andrew Tate? Instead of just, how do we help men? And I think that's a really big issue. Both sides seem to treat men as political fodder. Mm. Disposable soldiers in the culture war and real war. Anyway, misandry is real. Oh, good. Fine.
That is a fair point. the point of like just what needs to be said in order to influence them in the direction that they support, like the legislation that we put forward or the movements. It's more like, what do we say to men to get them to support women's rights? What do we say to men to get them to push forward this initiative that we have? What do we say to men to get them to stop reposting Ben Shapiro and Andrew Tate on their on their TikToks and stuff? I'd have to think about like what the rights equivalent is to that. And maybe
I have an example.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, just from like a Christian standpoint, I've seen in my life, there's a lot of like efforts at evangelism or reaching people with Christianity come with basically talking with people with an agenda of converting them instead of living out and demonstrating, hey, I'm living out my values. This is what my life looks like when you believe what we believe, whatever. This is how we treat people. This is how we love on you. This is how we care for others. This is kind of how to pattern your life if you believe this system, instead of coming to them with an agenda and trying to use all these manipulative tactics to convert them to your side. So I think that what we're seeing like on the left and what she's describing is a similar thing where you're not really coming to people because your worldview itself is good and can it self-evidently help be more helpful to them, that you're just demonstrating that by engaging them in good faith. You are trying to manipulate them to get to believe your worldview and instead treating them like a pawn, and that's just not a good look.
I mean, at least with like right-leaning messaging, like she said, men aren't getting something out of it, or at least feeling as though they're getting something out of it. Like, you are going to have a house, you are going to have a wife, you are going to have a family, like things are going to go well for you, and you are going to have ownership of something. When the left is like, you know, by 2030 you'll own nothing and be happy, you know, that whole WEF thing. It's fair.
And while it doesn't systemically affect cis men, it most certainly affects trans men. Oh, y'all talking about misandry doesn't harm men, and trans men are right there reading this shit, by the way. I see, now we only care about misandry because it affects trans men. Everyone stop.
It hurts my brain.
A group I care about now. I love how the rhetoric just like evolved overnight from male tears to cis male tears. And I just have to ask, why aren't you including trans men in your misandry, hmm?
Nobody told me how lonely being a man is. We knew what depth felt like before we transitioned. We knew what it felt like to like have people want to hug us and have people want to talk to us and have a community. And then you transition and you're just a guy walking down the street that people cross the street so that they're not near you. And friendships are so much harder to build. What's hard is none of this invalidates how real and raw women and people who are in marginalized groups feel about cis white men. All of that's valid. But I also now understand why the suicide rate is so much higher in men.
Welcome to being a man. Here's your complimentary isolation and yellow pillow.
Yeah, and by the way, we reacted to that video in long form. If you'd like to check that out on this channel and get a more in-depth discussion about that specific video in particular, you can check that out on the channel. There's a lot to unpack there, and there's a lot of contradictions to unpack there as well. You know, being a woman who's used to being in a female environment and then suddenly being transported into a male one where things aren't really cracking up to what they used to be. But it does emphasize maybe a sense of loneliness that might be exaggerated coming from a female perspective to a male one, but we can certainly recognize is there with men who were, you know, born men, raised men, espousing, hey, we're lonely and this is what we're dealing with, and the friendships really aren't the same or really aren't what they used to be. So it really does point something out there. And it's interesting because most left-leaning people would look at that person. That person passes as a man, right? And they would treat them as such, right? So that person in the real world is getting treated as a cis, white, heterosexual man. By all markers, and you know, by what we can identify with our eyes and our own perception. And I bet they're treating him like shit because that's what they would do. And as soon as you tell them, oh, you know, wait a second, I'm trans, I bet their eyes would roll back in their heads. And not because they really feel bad for what they did, but because what they did contradicted the ideology that they subscribed to publicly. And I've seen videos of trans people on TikTok talking about this issue in particular, and specifically those that are passing as white men. and they'll say, I'll go to parties or I'll go to an event, and women will bully me. Like, they'll actively bully me, they'll snicker, they'll talk about me because they are assuming that I'm a biological man. And as soon as we get into a conversation and they find out that I'm a trans man, oh, suddenly, oh, we're so sorry, we didn't mean to, or they don't acknowledge it anymore and they go back to being nice, cheery, happy. And it's all because of these assumptions that they make based on sex alone, when they accuse men of doing exactly that. And of course, the burden is to be shared on both sexes. And I'll reiterate that as many times as is necessary in this video, but take some accountability.
I love how even when he's experiencing the issues of being a man, he's like, this doesn't invalidate people hating men. Come on, bro. Men struggling don't want to be lectured about the patriarchy. They don't want to be told it's all their fault. They don't want to be told they're part of the problem, because first of all, they're not. The average 20-year-old didn't build society. Yep. They go to work, come home, f*** off to sissy hypno fetish porn, and go to bed like everyone else. I've talked about this before, but a lot of men's value comes from the money they make, unfortunately. Men are natural providers, and if they have nobody to provide for, they get into findom or send random girls on the internet money. I'm just kidding.
True.
But the fact is, a lot of men simply feel like they don't have a purpose anymore. Whether a job or a career that's fulfilling and pays well, or a woman or family to protect and take care of and provide for, men are lacking purpose. And a man will crawl through broken glass for a purpose. But you know who does make them feel like they have a purpose? No, not him.
I say that life as a man is exceptionally difficult. I say the most beautiful and the most terrifying thing about being a man is you're born without value. Society doesn't care about you.
The absolute audacity to act shocked that Andrew Tate is scooping these guys up after a decade of low male tears is insane. Andrew Tate isn't the solution to men's problems, but he is talking to them. The fact is, you did not care about them for years. And even now, you just want to recruit them, not help them. Yep. And that's why you will fail.
Yeah, dude, it's so true. I'm like, speaking facts, man. And there's a lot of like we've covered Andrew Tate on the show before. There's a lot of what he says that really resonates. And some of it is true and factual. And men do need to hear that, like, you can have purpose in life and you need to work towards something. And there is a goal in mind that you should set for yourself and be motivated towards. But then you package that with like, I have girls that sell pornography on the internet, and that's how I make my money, and I'm exploiting men into paying me hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to talk to girls when they're not really talking to girls. I mean, he's openly admitted that he's tricked men into thinking they're in relationships with these online cam girls and things like that, when really he's the one messaging him, or like the other goons that he's hired are the one messaging these men and tricking them out of their money. So the void will be filled by somebody who is appealing to men. Is that always going to be the healthiest version of appeal to these like disaffected people? No, it's not. We can, I think, certainly all admit, even if you really like Andrew Tate, or he's helped you in some way, or you found something like a message that he gave you that truly changed your perspective on your life, we can admit that there could be a healthier option. Like, there could be an Andrew Tate who wasn't scamming men out of money by getting them addicted to cam girls and pornography and pretending to be them while talking to them, right? I think we can all shake hands on that. We can do a little spit shake on there being a healthier version that could have filled said void. And that's not what we got. But now it's like the wild, wild west. There's going to be somebody else.
And hey, maybe I'll be the Andrew Tate of the left. Men, listen up.
Wash your penis.
So I guess I'll leave you guys with a question. Why do you think male loneliness has been increasing? What are your solutions for this problem? And are you dealing with loneliness? And I will see you guys next time with a new video.
Okay. You know what? That was solid. That was a good video.
It was great.
It's great to have like an issue explored from so many different angles. We didn't really get into like solutions in this video, but there was some, like, at least like maybe chill out on the man hating and the misandry, and actually let them, you know, give voice to some of the issues that they may be dealing with, because they are in fact human beings too, that deserve, you know, support just as much as anybody else does. And yeah, this is a great sort of like all-encompassing exploration of the idea of the male loneliness epidemic. So that's great. We're going to get into super chats and comments. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. So Let's hear it. All right,
so here we go. First up today is our regular Submadude. He says, my advice to lonely men, discuss in detail the importance of the pentatonic blues scale for guitar, and you will get the girl, any girl.
Maybe. You know, girls love the guitar, but it also reminds me of the Barbie movie. You know, when, spoiler alert, Ken plays the guitar for Barbie for like hours on end, and they're all just sitting there going like, yeah, that's great. That is one funny thing that I think the Barbie movie did get correct. Like, when you're in a relationship with a guy and you're in that like honeymoon phase, you will listen to anything that he has to say and anything that he wants to show you just to, like, you know, appease and build the relationship. So that's true.
Totally. Thanks, Submadude. Trip Tank says, glad to hear you're on good terms with your mom. Has she been on the podcast? I think a lighthearted change my mind between you would be cool.
Nah, she's not. She hasn't been on the podcast. She's not a in front of the camera person. She's not, you know, it's not her thing, which it's not most people's thing. So I respect that. But maybe one of these days down the line, you'll meet her.
Meatball says, I was once on dating apps and it was one of the most diminishing experiences I've had. Most of the time, people just want money or one night stands / scams. Glad to finally catch a live stream.
Yeah, gosh, it's hard. I mean, it's just not what dating was ever meant to be. And it's just really difficult. First of all, you're scanning through people, like judging them off their pictures before like anything else, which I guess is what we do in real life. We see somebody who's attractive and then we walk up to them. But there's just so much more space in real life for growth and development into a relationship when that's not how it started. And then you're like reading that he's what, like, you're, oh, 5'11", he's an engineer, he likes to, you know, go on hikes and, you know, stuff like that. It's just not a full view of any human being. And it lends itself so easily to this idea of like playing a game. It's like a video game when it comes to dating these days. And it's dehumanizing, as I said before. You start to like detach from the idea of these being actual people when you're on dating profiles. That's not to disparage online dating totally. I know a bunch of people who became couples through like Hinge and Tinder and stuff like that. So it's not to say that it can't happen. I just don't know that it's for me personally.
Dao says, even moderate / center left men who are lonely get called incels if they can't figure out how to properly navigate social interaction with women.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Like I said, I feel bad. I made a no riz comment on the show. And I take back my no riz comment. You guys, as a man, you do have to go and you have to practice like social interaction. And it's, I think, harder now than it's been in a really, really long time. I just can't imagine how that must be, having to go out and talk to women, especially just me being in LA and being, women can be nasty, like really, really mean when all you're trying to do is just like say hi and maybe express interest. And I think it's a mixture of like women get a lot of attention and men obviously don't. So like for you, that moment will stick in your brain for a really long time if you're a man who's just been rejected by a woman at a bar. But for her, you're like one in 1,000 guys who's going to do that to her over the next month. So it's far easier for women to be like really brutal, like give you a gut shot when you try to attempt a conversation.
It's rough there. Thank you for that very encouraging perspective.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, you still got to go out there and do it. And you will find the right girl. I met my boyfriend at a bar. We just, you know, he just came and sat next to me at a bar. And, you know, it worked out. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen. You gotta go out there and try.
Hey, there's tons of lonely single girls in church, just saying. You know, y'all can go out to church and get, I mean, if you share the values, of course, but anyways.
Yeah, don't go pretending.
Yeah. Linnea Grace says, I think there may be loneliness going on for both men and women. It seems to me that people with any values / morals these days end up lonely because there are so few of us out there. The good women / men can't find each other.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I think it's hard to tell. It's hard to get a grasp on everything that's going on. All I know is that in a general sense, people are lonely and something needs to be done. But yeah, I'm sure there's many good men and women out there that just have yet to cross paths.
Just takes one. Just takes one, guys.
Just takes one, guys. Just takes one.
Dream Eater Media says, love you, Amala. Glad you're touching on men struggling as being treated as a lower class today.
Yeah. Second class citizens. That's so funny because that's what women said for a long time. Like, we're second class citizens. And I'm like, you can't. Can you? You can't use that argument anymore. You just can't. It's stale. It's tired. It's not true.
I know. On the surface, it just seems so dumb. It's like, okay, we used to treat one group of people badly. Now let's treat the other group of people badly. Why don't we just treat everyone equally? Like, just on its face, boom, that's right. The solution. But we always shoot past it, cause all kinds of chaos and problems in society and everything. And then we slowly feel our way back towards the other. And I'm sure we overshoot it and then on and on we go. But anyways.
Yeah.
Trotman CE just sent a super chat, no message. Thank you. Sandra Allen says, people who are loved and valued typically do not become aggressive, angry, bitter, or insanely selfish. Relationships of any sort are doomed because everyone is focused on what they get out of it.
It is so true. Point out all, there are so many like societal ills that we all agree are issues. And had you just like taken the perpetrator of that issue and placed them in a loving environment where they felt accepted and that they were able to explore and grow within themselves, whoever they may be, so many of the problems would not occur. So, I mean, our deepest struggle as a society, I think, and it might make me sound like super hippie, is a struggle of like love and acceptance and, you know, community. That's what it is. And it's tough, man. Like when we talk about fatherlessness and how it leads to homelessness and chronic disease and, you know, prison time and drug abuse and all this stuff, what's at the center of that is like two people that should love you and be there for you and supporting you. And one of those people is not there. And look at all the issues that it causes. It's happening on a huge scale right now.
Rotman, again, he actually did include a message, said, what is sad is men are killing themselves and the only women that care are probably the mothers and children and aunties. That's sad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to... society has to recognize it at some point, and it doesn't have to be like, doesn't have to be some boohoo thing. It can just be an acknowledgement, just an acknowledgement. It's gonna have to happen, right? Because the issues are gonna arise. So
Must Pavlov Dogs says, the lack of empathy is concerning. If only there was some kind of golden rule about treating others as we'd like to be treated.
if only like internet anonymity didn't make that like so much worse. It emboldens people to really be like the worst parts of themselves.
Alex Santeas, Amala, please do more live streams like this. This is a huge problem. I honestly think if women don't change this around, we are doomed.
Well, I don't know if it's just women. I think there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of things, a lot of spinning plates that need to be held up in order to fix this issue. But there is some burden to be placed on the women in our society, again, for at least, you know, acknowledging and trying your best to be kind and compassionate towards other people. And yeah, I saw this video and I thought, yeah, we should definitely react to this. Taylor seconded that idea, and I'm sure there'll be many more videos like this. It reminded me of the like, what are we doing to white people video that Charlie Chan made, and that went viral because so many people heard that message and had to react to that too. So there'll be more.
Michelle O'Sullivan says, all those comments towards men are disheartening. I truly got up and walked over to my husband, gave him a kiss, and told him I love and value him.
Oh, that is so sweet.
That's sweet.
See, men need that too. There you go. Go tell a man in your life that you love him today. In fact, just go tell anybody in your life that you love him and value them today.
I love that. Thanks, Michelle. Dow again says, Amala, you nailed it. Those lonely men have yet to organize behind a group similar to the Taliban or a radical Middle Eastern ninjas.
Ninjas. Yeah, I mean, any group of people that are dissatisfied with life in a way that is leading to an outcome as extreme as suicide, you might be fretful that they will choose something other than suicide, right? If you're a man or anybody, right, who's in the place of being this sad about life and your option is suicide or something else, we might want to worry about what the or something else is, you know? That's the selfish reason to care about what's going on.
Evil Fairy 188 says, lack of empathy regarding lonely men reminds me of the lack of empathy over the submersible. It goes even back to Harambe. The internet is ruthless.
Yeah, it's like with the submersible, the Titan. They said billionaires, that's a group we don't like. Who cares that they died? It's the same. Men, that's a group we don't like. Who cares? White people, that's a group we don't like. Who cares? It's just the same cycle, and it's really foolish. Really foolish.
Trotman again says, what is funny is the only reason they have platforms to do this is because of men. This is the end of the world as we know it. He put the music notes, so I'm not going to sing it though.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that argument made, right? Like the only reason that women exist in the society that they do today is because of men. And of course, we know that that is true historically. The argument also could be made from a progressive perspective that women weren't allowed to contribute to the society at large for quite some time. So who knows what the world would look like had they been able to contribute at the times that they're referencing as progressives. But nonetheless, I see what you mean. Lots of men fought and died so that we are here today to be able to have this discussion. And what a cushy discussion it is in comparison to what people before us were dealing with historically.
Alex again says, by the way, that comment you read earlier about that guy being lonely demonstrates just how bad things are right now. Mostly only women can change this. So lower your standards, women, because look what's happening.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, I try to limit the amount of like negative stuff that I read and watch and hear in my day now, because I recognize that it was like harming me in the long term and creating like just psychological things that I think if I wasn't hearing so much sad stuff, I wouldn't be dealing with. And Shu posted a whole thread of like men saying, like I said before, the saddest stuff in this video comment section. And I was just reading them like, it's so sad. Like, I just can't imagine it. It makes you obviously like feel good about where you're at in life and have a sense of gratitude for your position. But oh my gosh, to feel some of the sadness that these people are espousing in these comments was just heartbreaking.
Must Pavlov Dogs again says, one of the best ways to unify people is to give them a common enemy, men/whites/straights, etc. The graphic novel Watchmen demonstrates this well.
Yep, it's very true. That's all you have to do is say, this person is creating all the problems. Let's rally behind an effort to get rid of them. And that's where we're kind of at. I mean, we're not at the point of getting rid of men, but you guys heard some of those messages. If it happened, would there really be anybody, you know, crying about it from that said group of people? Probably not.
Charles Hopper just sends a little fox or tiger emoji that says good job. So thanks, Charles. Let's see. Alice Aries says, we need to uplift and love our Kens. They are Kenuff. Please, Amala, or P.S. Amala, I am seeing the 1975 live next month, and I'm curious about that strange little man.
The strange little man?
I don't know.
Who are you talking about?
Matty Healy? Is he little?
Yeah, he's not little. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what we're referring to, but congratulations on being able to see the 1975. It's going to be a great show if you haven't seen this new tour that they're doing. It's a fantastic show. I almost got tickets to see them a second time when they come back to LA, but not happening, unfortunately.
Must Pavlov Dogs again says, the right may not do anything to actually help men, but they'll talk to them at least. I think it's the same case with the left and minorities.
Yeah, I mean, and talking is something, right? If you're lonely, talking to somebody is a massive thing. So that should not be forgotten.
This is just, their name is a period, so that's cool. Mr. Period says, can we blame them? That's something that makes them happy and helps them with their loneliness. Dating requires them to go out and weed through people that treat them terribly. It's an easy way out.
Right. Yeah. We talked about this, like, you can choose the hard way that might be more rewarding in the long run, because you have a wife and kids, right, that you're dedicated to, and you have a purpose, a real deep sense of purpose towards your family and the world at large. But if you have to get like stabbed by barbed wire 100,000 times to get to the wife and kids, are you going to make that choice? And to me, the answer is yes, right? You make the choice to go through all the hard stuff to get to what is the most rewarding, gratifying thing at the end. But if you're not incentivized to do that, if you're not taught to do that, and if you're given a whole bunch of dopamine hits on the way to not being taught to do that, who can you blame at that point? Like, it's really hard. I think about these things. Like, we can identify so many issues with our society, but from a philosophical standpoint, that was always the way that they were going to turn out. These people were always going to be the way that they are because they are the way that they are. And I don't want to get too much into the weeds on that whole idea, but it's hard to assign blame to a certain group of people when everything was going to be the way that it is. That's a video for another time.
Let's see. Monica Leah says, do I have better luck with women if I get a cat? Do women like men who like cats?
I don't, some women do. My best friend, Risa, she has a cat. His name is Graham, and he's a gorgeous Bengal cat. And everybody loves that cat. And her marker for men is like, if you do not like cats or if you don't like my cat, like, we're not, we, this can't go any further. So for some women, that's going to work for you. I've seen men like bring their dogs out to like the grocery store or to parks and stuff, and it's like a magnet for women. So don't do it in the weird way. Just don't do it in the creepy way.
I was not a pet person at all, really. When I started dating my wife, but she has a cat or had a cat, and I just, you know, because I was interested in her, I was like put up with the cat, and now the cat's like, he's my best friend, and so. You know, he grew on me, and now I'm like, oh yeah, cats are better than dogs.
Yeah, but, see, there you go. You know, that's always how there. A lot of men are like that, though. They're like, I don't want a cat, I don't want a dog, and then you get them one, and it's like their whole world.
Yeah, he's my buddy. All right, Will Roke says, I'm a 36-year-old black male from Jersey. Sometimes I agree with your content, sometimes not, but I feel like ideas need to be challenged. Will you ever debate somebody like Destiny or Vosh? I feel like you preach to the choir a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to doing it. I feel like
we've literally had Destiny on the show, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we have had Destiny on the show. So you guys, you can check out that conversation. It was like a 2-hour conversation, but I think we broke it up into different videos. Segments. Also, you can watch me go on Jubilee Middle Ground. I've debated leftists on there numerous times. So those videos are not on this channel, but they're out there. We have many videos of me debating leftists on college campuses. There's a pretty viral protest video where I go and confront some protesters at a speech of mine. So you keep digging. there's tons of debate content.
Alex Gint says, I'm not trying to be funny, but when girls go after the Horacio type, which if you didn't watch was the suave guy in this dating video we reacted to. F boy, as you might say. But when girls go after the Horacio type, then get mad he won't commit. What do you effing expect, women? 100% delusional.
Well, it's a little bit, right? You have to engage a little bit. There's an element of, I think for everybody, for men and women, if you are going to engage with the higher, like the upper percentage of men or women, you constantly run the risk of somebody taking that person from you, right? Or them being available to somebody else, which is part of the chase for men. A lot of times, a lot of men love going after really hot girls, even knowing that they're going to have other suitors, but saying, I want to be the man to get this person. It's the same thing for women. They want to be the woman who held down a man that was, you know, sought after by so many other women. And they'll run the risk of engaging with the F-boy so that they might have the high reward of actually getting the F-boy. Now, does it work out? 9 times out of 10, probably not, because the man has 100 other girls who are willing to try the same thing and take the same risk, which is why you get all these girls crying on the internet of how they got effed over by some boy, because you're all going after the same boy. So the earlier comments that said you kind of need to lower your standards, it's not even that you need to like lower your perception of self, which many women need to do. Let's put that out there. You just need to be realistic about like what your odds are in this game, or you're just going to keep being played. And that's how it's going to work for you.
Puffy Vegas says, 3 things that need to be changed: alimony, child support, and divorce laws. This is the biggest problem because it will restore the family and bring community tomorrow.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. I don't know that that's an overnight thing. I've been thinking about the idea of like marriage and divorce and all these different things and exploring that further for you guys so that we can get to the heart of some of the issues here. But there's certainly things that need to be changed. Somebody's getting the short stick in that agreement. And sometimes it's men, sometimes it's women.
Trip Tank says, one thing making it hard to date women is the logic saying them that the best way to communicate that they want husband energy is breaking up with you.
Oh, we're talking about the video of the girl from what's that? Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Where she said, I broke up with the guy because he wasn't giving husband energy. And he said, okay, that's fair. I'm not giving husband energy. And they broke up. And she wanted him to chase her a little bit more because that's, I guess, what husband energy would be. She said she's open to being manipulated.
You can manipulate me into changing my mind.
Right, right. But I think that's just Gen Z speak for, like, you could have tried harder, which is exactly the reason that I broke up with you, because you weren't trying hard enough. And I get that, right? Women have high standards, and as we modernize and women have, jobs and careers, and they're able to do the things that men used to do for them, the ask that they're going to have of you is going to be a lot greater, because men used to just be like, I have money, I'm Daddy Warbucks, baby. And a woman who is not educated and doesn't have a job is going to go, he's Daddy Warbucks, I'm going to marry this dude. But now men can't do that. They go, I'm educated and I have money. And women go, yeah, I'm educated and I have money too. What else do you have for me? Are you going to cook? Are you going to clean? Are you going to do this? Are you going to bring me flowers every Friday or whatever? So we're in, I guess, the inflection point of things changing and the pendulum swinging and staggering and moving all over the place. Where we land, I do not know. I do not know.
Stephanie Fonseca says, what you're saying is I saved my hubby from loneliness by taking him up as a project 7 years ago. LOL, I'm going to require weekly chips as gratitude.
Hey, I don't know. Maybe you saved each other, right? Isn't that the view that you should both have? You were both works in progress and you saved each other.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, if you consider it an act of charity that you married somebody that's not doesn't bode well for the longevity and health of that relationship. But
maybe a red flag, maybe a beige flag. I'll give you a beige flag on that one.
But, you know, my wife did me a favor when we got married, so maybe you're just saying that and as a joke.
Yeah.
Let's see. Roger Sam says, to what degree have men created their problem by perusing a type of woman who would entice men to treat other men badly in order to provide?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like the chicken or the egg question, right? It's the age-old thing. Like, did your pursuit of said thing create the issue, right? Do the porn stars create the issue, or does men's pursuit of porn create the issue? And there's arguments to be made on both ends of the spectrum, which is why I say you can't blame people. Like, this whole, like, manosphere thing of we blame women sucks, the whole modern day feminist thing of we blame men sucks, just like more people could benefit from taking stock of their own responsibility in these issues. I wish more people were coming to the table saying, I did this thing and it created this bad outcome. And then the next person comes and says, I did this thing and this created this bad outcome. Like I said on the stream the other day that men who have no riz need to work on their riz. Maybe I should have accounted for the fact that men do need to practice their riz.
Yeah, I just say, like, as a rule of thumb, you're better off going about life being wary of people who blame society or taking on a worldview that blames society, blames the system, blames groups of people, blames all women, blames all men, whatever it might be, systemic racism, all that type of stuff. Like, that there's validity and truth to all of that, but yeah. It can become something that limits you and makes you miserable if you adopt an entire worldview that is basically defeatist and resentful of the way the world is, and it prevents you from living a fulfilling life, which you can still achieve despite that. But if you give up the hope that you can and then just become this resentful, angry, bitter person at the world, that's just nihilism, and it's not gonna end well for you. So anyways, One more from Alex here. Amala, this problem is 90% women's fault and 10% high value men's fault. I can't change that, this, but if women decided to change, this
would change. Wait a second. All right. Okay, first of all, where did we get this statistic from? Okay, is this like some Pew Research Center shit? I don't, 90% is a little bit high. That's a little bit high. You just have to think about it, right? Like, even if you're a man and you're in a bad position, right? What type of man are we attracted to? And I remember having this conversation in regard to short kings, right? Like, if you're a short guy who's, let's say you are 5'8" or whatever. That's not even short. You say you're 5'6", right? Okay. Which I guess is short, you know, in comparison to most other men. You're probably going to have a hard time out there on the dating scene, right? And you could argue that there is a systemic issue that is holding you down from being able to date the upper echelon of women. And that systemic issue is a prejudice against men who are shorter. Now, you, as a short man, could go, well, it's 90% women's fault, and the other 10% is the fault of, like, the 6-foot-tall men. It's their fault, too, right? So 90% of blame I can place on the women, 10% of blame I can place on 6-foot-tall or higher men. Yeah, you could say that, right? And there might be some truth to what you're saying. But is that the attractive angle? Or is the attractive angle like, yeah, I'm short, so what? I make up for it here, here, and here. And you shouldn't worry about dating me because I'm a short king or whatever. It's just the worldview that you need to adopt has to change, even if the truth were that 90% of this issue is women's fault. It takes two to tango, baby. It takes two. For every AI girlfriend, you know, there's 100,000 men buying the program. And let's be honest, these like AI girlfriends and a lot of these like porn stars and everything, their channels are being run by other men. So a lot of other men are exploiting people and creating said issue. So I don't know what the breakup is on that statistic, but I don't think it's 90% women.
Yeah, as you're talking, I remembered I saw this tweet today about Wayne Gretzky, who's like the most legendary hockey player of all time. And early in his career, when he was like, I think in high school or something, a coach told him to study a certain player because he's like, Wayne, you're undersized. You're not strong, stocky, big enough to play hockey the way it's traditionally played. But there's a player in the NHL who does really well, despite having a similar size profile. So you should study him. And Wayne Gretzky like got a notebook and would watch this guy on the ice and like, as his eyes are watching the TV, he'd like trace on a piece of paper how this guy moved about the rink and on a rink on a piece of paper and just like took that as a challenge. And instead of blaming the game of hockey, blaming the other team for being too strong and unfair, blaming his teammates for being stronger than him or whatever, he did what he could do within his agency to work around that and find different ways to play the game, given the hand he'd been dealt biologically, and you know, ended up being the greatest of all time. And that's not to say that you're going to be the greatest of all time, but it is to say that, like, you know, just because you have certain limitations in certain areas doesn't mean you can't achieve and overcome. And we're better off believing that and making heroes out of people who do things like that than we are saying the whole game of hockey's rigged, no one should ever play it, or all the other team is just being unfair or whatever, you know. So there's my little sports analogy.
Dude, but and guess what you're going to find out if you adopt that mindset? What you're going to find out is that actually being 6 foot tall is a weakness. Being naturally good at hockey is a weakness. And why is it a weakness? Because that's a crutch that they now get to live on. You will go, if you're like a short guy and you're like jealous of tall guys, go and talk to one. Go and talk to a guy who's 6'4". Girls have just always approached him his whole life. The dude has no personality. He has like no real like thing that he's worked towards because he's never been placed in a position of being underprivileged in an arena where he has to fight harder to compensate in other areas. So you'll actually find that if you do the work to be like, how can I be more in the space of where that guy is? You're going to be in a way better position than he is. And the same goes for like that hockey analogy. That he had to sit and study what was happening, the science behind it, how to implement that in his own life. Some guy who's naturally good at it and it just comes to him, yeah, he's going to be successful, but does he have the wherewithal that you have? Does he have the knowledge that you have? Which is something that is fundamentally wrong with the way the left views the world. Yes, we don't want people to struggle. We don't want people to be underprivileged. And as much as we can help to alleviate those symptoms for people, we should try, right? But once you inch into just like giving people things because you feel like they need it, you are actually crippling those people because they no longer had to like learn the skills that take them out of that place of struggle. And sometimes the most hard-hitting stories that you hear or the most impactful people in your life that you meet with the most knowledge are the ones who struggled the most when they were younger and in a different space in life because they have to do the things that other people don't have to do. So shout out to all my short kings.
Shout out, but we're not coddling you. We're telling you can go do it. Yeah. Look, nothing. I mean, well, my last little sports comment here. I play beach volleyball. It's my thing. I'm 6'2". So that's an advantage in that, right, in that sport, obviously. But nothing is more frustrating, emasculating, annoying when some short dude comes on and he's like studied the game, has all his fundamentals down, like knows how to play it's shots true. And knows how to hit around my block and all that type of stuff. And it, but you know, you got to give him credit, but that makes me want to get on the game more. But anyways, I'm telling you, the same stuff's true in life.
Yeah, we're beating the dead horse here. We could talk about this for hours. This is a whole nother video.
Let's see. B Bio 1656 says the underappreciation of men today started when men came back from Vietnam and it's grown every day since.
Wait, say that again? The underappreciation of men?
Yeah, the underappreciation of men today in culture is started when men came back from Vietnam and it grew every day since.
I think you could definitely like recognize some sort of like cultural shift with all of that. I mean, when like soldiers were coming back and getting spit on and like shouted at and hit by, you know, everyday civilians for, you know, a decision that they had largely no major choice in. Yeah, I think you can see a cultural shift. I don't know, like, what sowed the seeds of that, you know, prior to the Vietnam War, but I think you could see a catalyst there, definitely.
Yeah, and I would say the seeds prior was, like, the, you know, social revolutions of the 1960s and postmodernism in the universities and that kind of escaping into culture, and that's where you get radical feminism and man-hating ideas and stuff. So I'm sure men coming back from an unpopular war was fit right in with that momentum. So
true that. Good point.
Alex one more time says, if I knew 100% that my forever to be wife was at the end of the challenge, all I had to do was crawl through the broken hot glass, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Hey, we never know anything 100%. That's the part of the journey. That's the fun part, right? Is that you don't know what's at the end of it. And then you do it anyways. And then even if your wife is not at the end of it, you get to be like, I just crawled through glass and I survived that. Are you kidding me? That's a notch on the belt. That's a win. So we can't promise these things, but you can put yourself in a better position to have them.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Quote Michael Scott. Quote Wayne Gretzky. In the immortal words of Michael
Scott.
So
good.
Dream Eater Media says, Taylor, as a guy with a wife, what's your advice for men looking for a genuine woman?
There you go, Taylor.
Have a vision for what you really want. And when you know what you want, the wrong girls are going to lose your attention pretty fast. And when I say that, I mean like long-term. Like if you're looking for a long-term partner who you can really do life with, that is going to be there for you, that is going to be a companion for you, that you can have kids, raise a family with, just be with and build a life with together. Like, you know, some of the like hot girls at the bar quickly eliminate themselves from contention as you go out there. So I'd say like, know what you want. And that the non-genuine women will kind of eliminate themselves as you keep that in focus. But it's easy to get distracted. There's lots of fish in the sea. But you, when you're really honest with yourself and really focused on, you know, what you truly want. And look, the proof of what you desire is found in what you pursue. And so if you don't really want that, or you're not willing to let go of the temporary fun of new girls every weekend, going out and dating apps and all this stuff, and like that's the lifestyle that you really want, then you can stay there and you can keep, you know, as the biblical allusion, circling the mountain like the children of Israel did year after year after year, and never making any progress toward the bigger, more fulfilling destiny that is in front of you. But you know, once you are honest with yourself and have the right perspective, that's going to help you focus on the right person. And as you're going about your life, leveling up, being the best version of yourself that you can be, you know, pursuing the passions of your heart and adding as much value to yourself as you can, you're going to find yourself, you know, as you're going about life, the right person might be, you know, walking beside you in a similar direction at some point. So that's as best of advice I think I can give you right here.
It's a crash course.
Yeah. So there you go. Hopefully that was helpful, Dream Eater. Aaron Bergeron says, men, check out trade jobs. Don't be afraid of hard work. Find your faith. Look to God to make you whole and relate to women as the flawed humans we all are.
Yeah, that's fair. There's some good advice in there. I think like a lot of men, we have been socialized. I think just largely we've been socialized to like go towards like higher education, university. You need to be like an engineer. You need to be a doctor. You need to be a lawyer. Trades are where it's at. Y'all just saw, I don't know if we can necessarily call this a trade, but like, I guess they are truck drivers. UPS drivers are now making $170,000 a year.
I was going to say that.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. And guess what? Those are the people who said, you know what? I'm not going to go the conventional route. I'm going to do this and it'll pay off. And it did end up paying off. And that can be said for many, many a tradesman.
100%. Will Roeck says, I saw some of the Destiny video, but can't find the full video. And I have watched the college videos. I dig.
Right, fair enough.
I talking about something more recent, or do you have any debates planned?
Oh no, not currently. We've got stuff planned. Let's say We have a lot of stuff planned, guys. But we won't unpack that on today's show. But trust me, there's plans.
Yeah, it'll be good. Stay tuned. Molted says, what do you think of the 1989 Taylor's Version cover/announcement?
I don't follow any of that. You know what? It kind of freaks me out how many people follow Taylor Swift. I'm going to be honest. I did talk about her on this show about like the Maddie Healy thing and some of the political stuff around there. But it's kind of wild the stranglehold she has on women in America, really all over the world, really, but specifically in America. It's crazy. I see like women who are like sewing her face into dresses for her tour, and they're making like specific outfits and like working for months on just like what outfit they're going to wear to stand in a crowd of like 100,000 other people for her tour. And it's become like this whole culture where people come and trade bracelets with each other and everything, and like they talk about which year of Taylor they like the best or which boyfriend of Taylor they like the best, and they're timelining her life. It freaks me out a little bit. Does
we got Shu in the chat just said, thank you for covering my video. I'm glad more people are talking about the subject.
Oh, thanks, Shu. We appreciate your video. I mean, it was truly, truly fantastic.
Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grace, but yeah, on the topic of Taylor Swift, I saw, I don't remember if it was on Twitter or what, but basically just someone talking about how they didn't like Taylor Swift, but they recognized that, like, as in her music, but they recognized that she has found a way to speak to the female experience in a way that is super, just it resonates with women and it captures something. So I think a lot of it's just like the nature of celebrity and fangirling and all that, but I think it speaks to the truth that there is a sort of female nature and a female experience of life. And I think Barbie tapped into that a lot as well. But Taylor definitely is honed in on that, and you know, good on her, I guess.
I saw this guy like map out Taylor songs and like the present themes in Taylor songs, and I guess he said like there's three present themes. There's like, I'm in love with a new guy, let's explore this connection. I just broke up with a guy, I hate him, this is horrible, I'm heartbroken. And like, I'm gonna be a boss bitch. Like, those are the three themes of her music. And if that does not break down much of the female experience from like adolescence to early adulthood, I don't know what does. And it is so, I mean, it could not be more apparent in how many women are clamoring to be at this girl's concert to hear her talk about those three themes. So clearly those things like resonate on a very deep sense with women. But meanwhile, we're coupling that with this idea that like, we don't need no men. We don't care about men. Like, we're going to just do our own thing or whatever. Like, down with the patriarchy. And then these girls are like crying their eyes out to Taylor Swift talking about a guy that she dated for 3 months when she was 15. Just make it make sense to me.
You're calling out the cognitive dissonance.
Just a little bit. And I've listened to her music. I love some of her older stuff. This is not to like dog on her or anything. It's just to point out that there is like a consistent cultural element to who she is as a person. And the fact that largely what she sings about has not changed, and it hasn't changed for over a decade, yet she still has a larger and larger cultural impact as the years go on. And it's because she's talking to really present themes in, you know, young women's lives. And it is largely surrounding like love and, you know, finding that arc in your life, even though like in the new Snow White, we don't do that anymore. We don't look for true love. We're all going to be bosses and we don't care about anybody. Girls still care and they're still looking for it.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's kind of like Hollywood sort of resents a lot of the classic themes and story arcs and stuff in films, and yet they flop whenever they just make movies that are just preaching about their causes du jour.
Yeah.
So they always end up hearkening back to some of those stories almost begrudgingly. But, you know, it works and it resonates with people. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I think this might be our last one today from Nicodemus, 1984, says, thanks for your awesome topic as usual. And cheers to your team. The first Rambo movie is a great drama about a kind of loneliness men had to deal with coming back from Vietnam. Very heartbreaking.
And look how many men that movie inspired. Like how many men, when you tell them, like, who's like a figure that's been present in like your childhood that you look back to that gives you motivation? Like Rambo. It's very, very true. So it's something that needs to be spoken to culturally, you know, socially. I think this was a great topic to cover on today's show, and I'm glad that you all seemingly enjoyed delving into this discussion, and maybe we'll have a more in-depth discussion about it in the future. Maybe we'll talk more about solutions in the future. And we'll do a deep dive into that end of the conversation here. Guys, I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much for watching the show. Leave a comment down below about how you feel about the general topic that we covered, the male loneliness epidemic, as detailed in this recent Shoe on Head video. Shout out to Shoe for making the video and for showing up on the stream. And please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And we post videos for you guys every single day, so don't miss out. Go tell somebody in your life that you love them and you value them and that they have meaning and can bring about purpose in their lives. Somebody, I'm sure, needs to hear it. See you guys.